Composer and accordionist Guy Klusevic got his start playing polkas, but he found his home in the avant-garde. He's expanded the accordion repertoire with his own compositions and with new works he's commissioned by such contemporary composers as John Zorn, Wayne Horvitz, and Robert Previtt. He's performed in settings as diverse as the Brooklyn Philharmonic, the American Composers Orchestra, the Merce Cunningham Dance Company, and the new music ensemble Relâche. We invited Klusevic to our studio for an interview and asked him to bring his accordion. That's a beautiful piece. You know, I'm looking at your instrument and looking at all the buttons next to the keyboard, and I'm thinking that in a lot of ways the accordion predates the synthesizer.
Well, it takes as its precedent probably the organ. I mean, the register stops are kind of akin to organ stops, and instead of combining pipes, they combine reeds. And unlike the synthesizer, you can't really create different sound qualities. You can't make it sound like a clarinet or sound like a bassoon, but you can combine reed stops in different way to create different colors.
What are some of the colors you can get from the instrument you have now?
Well, there's a very low reed in the right hand, which goes down into the left-hand range. Later on in this piece that I was playing at the opening scenes from a Mirage, I have this very low passage like this. And then the range goes up into the stratosphere. The high reed is way up in the piccolo range. And then there's a very pretty middle range. Which is more of a kind of a woodwind texture that I associate a lot with the instruments. And then those are basically the three reeds. There's a low reed, a middle reed, and a high reed. And then you have all the possible combinations of those, which are more thick textures. Here's all four reeds at one time, which is kind of the traditional accordion sound, all the reeds going all the time.
The Lady of Spain sound.
Yeah, that's it. You just throw everything on you have and let it wail.
How did you first start playing accordion?
It was a cliche. I saw it on television, and I don't remember.
But who did you see playing it?
I can't remember, but I take my dad's word for it. He just said, I saw somebody playing it, and I just bothered him, you know, for a month every day until he bought me one.
Were you interested in polkas?
I got interested in them. Once I moved to Western Pennsylvania, I was raised by an aunt and uncle who were Slovenian, and they all of the family functions at the time, picnics or weddings, were ethnic functions. So what was being played by the band was not top 40. And I wrote a lot of polkas myself. I had a little band. And then at some point I became disinterested in them because the mentality of the kind of lyrics of the polkas were always kind of middle America. The wife stays in the house and we go out drinking and bowling with the guys and all this. And then the music started to sound more and more like elevator music. I mean, they were not writing polkas out of the Slovenian community, but they were, like Frankie Yankovic was turning out movie time polkas. You know, he would cash in on whatever movie themes were popular at the time and do polka versions, and it seemed like a self-parody, and I lost interest for many years.
One of your big projects now is commissioning composers to write short polkas for you.
That's right.
It's part of an extended piece called Polka from the Fringe. Mm-hmm. Are you back into polkas again?
Yeah, I am. I got interested in them again through Spanish music. I started hearing a lot of Tex-Mex music, and what was so great about Tex-Mex music was that there was a real tradition of virtuosic accordion playing. The players really got around on their instruments, on these little button accordions, and the music remained rather pure because they were ethnically isolated. So it seemed to me musically it was interesting because it was a combination of German and Czech forms, polkas and waltzes. I really got excited about it, and that led to the idea of why don't I ask all these other people who have always wanted to write pieces for me, why not ask them to write a short piece? They'd probably have time to do that, and the form would be what bound it all together. And so I have 20 of them now from the kind of New York experimental scene.
Would you play one of them for us?
Sure. Elliot Sharp, this is an exception to the rule. Elliot's polka was already written. He didn't write this specifically for me. I'm doing a cover version of it. It's called Happy Chappy Polka.
Got a little box where I keep all my things. Got running water, living like a king. Got all I want, and it's always tough to eat. Even got a little girl, likes to rub my feet. Oh, I'm a happy chappy, oh, I'm a happy chappy, oh. I'm a happy chappy, oh, I'm a happy chappy, oh. Got blue skies overhead when I open up my eyes. Got no rain, no misery, I'm never gonna die. Got lovely smiles, cause I wear the latest styles. Can't even begin to count my blessings, oh. I'm a happy chappy, oh, I'm a happy chappy, oh. I'm a happy chappy, oh, I'm a happy chappy, oh.
That's really funny. It's really great. This all makes me think that my mother was right when she said to me in high school, Terry, the things that you think are very square today, you will really appreciate when you grow up.
Well, I think that's true of the accordion, too. You know, I was playing it for... I've lived through the whole trend of it being an incredibly popular instrument to being an instrument that became a total cliché, to now being an instrument which is really hip.
But there's probably a period for you where it was maybe fairly embarrassing to tell people that your instrument was the accordion.
Oh, sure. I would, if somebody asked me what I played, I'd say, oh, keyboards, or I'd mumble, and I didn't want to get into a 20-minute discussion. I think what's strange is that when you're a child, you make very intuitive decisions. You know, you just do something because it feels right. And then there comes a point when it seems like it's an attitude to still be doing it. Now, if you're still playing accordion, it's like, how can you be doing that when you know how square it is? But by that time, your attitude about it has already been shaped, and you didn't make the decision as an adult, so it's not an attitude, it's a way of life by that time.
In order to have a repertoire, you basically almost have to commission people to write things for you, because there isn't much, is there, written for accordion?
Well, there is. There's a lot of European music that's been written since the 50s. Unfortunately, a lot of it is kind of academic European music. It comes out of the conservatory, and it's very kind of post-Bartokian and not original. And so the kinds of music that I'm interested in are not being written for the instrument unless I ask for it.
Do you ever have a problem with people thinking, oh, great, a funny piece for the accordion, you know?
Sure. It's, you know, there has to be a point when you move beyond the image of the accordion to getting into the specific sound qualities of it and not just what it conjures up mentally. In other words, once the piece is over, if you remember the tune or you remember the sound quality of the piece, rather than just remembering that it was an accordion, it was funny. I mean, the accordion in many instances is a sight gag. You see it and people start laughing even before you play.
Guy, thanks very much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Can you play something else for us?
Sure.
An original composition?
Oh, why not? This is a piece called Old Woman Who Dances with the Sea, and I'll just play a little excerpt of it.
Guy Klusevic can be heard on his new album, Scenes from a Mirage. This is Fresh Air.